This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Good afternoon. It's Friday. It's 4 o'clock, which means it is Back Row and Chill. I'm joined today by Chris Keegan.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, mate.
You're right.
Thank you very much for co-hosting with me today.
Thank you for having me.
You are an actor.
For my sins.
We met many years ago on a very weird office job.
We did. That was bizarre one. That was
they employed actors to work on the telephone lines, and we met and we go, mates. And I thought, come on, you'd be brilliant. If you can chat on the telephone, you can definitely chat on the radio.
I mean, a little bit different, but I'll do my best.
Yeah, we haven't got angry people calling us up.
No, we really don't. Hopefully not.
Just nice people contacting the show today, please. We have a huge show jam-packed for you guys today. We are talking about the Edinburgh Fringe. We're going to be looking at a new show called The Great British Mysteries, which is like a kind of a mashup of TED Talks slash mockumentary. It looks pretty. I haven't really seen a show like that, so I'm interested in talking to the guys who made that. Jube Tube's going to be in the studio. Lucy Patterson, she's broken her foot, I think, or her toe.
Aww.
So she's not going to make it in today, but my good friend Kevin, who is a massive film buff, is going to be coming in at 5:30 for film reviews, so stay tuned. And Chris, I'm going to be walking you through the show, what we do. Now, every week, I put together a little compilation of my favourite soundtrack songs from movies or shows or anything that I'm loving. So I think we should start off with a little bit of maybe Guardians of the Galaxy, because when you think like movie soundtrack, that's got to be up there.
Best one for the last few years, definitely.
For sure. So this is Fox on the Run by The Sweet. This background chill. We'll be back after this.
You don't look the same. The way you
What an opening. I was just jigging all the way through that. That was from Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Two.
Part of the soundtrack there. If you just joined us, it's Johanna James, joined today by...
Chris Keegan, hello!
We're going to be riding this show till the end today. I think it's time. Every week we like to kick off with a bit of entertainment news.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, I know. Let me just put my teeth in. Hold on. So here is now time for the entertainment news on Back Row and Chill. Oh my gosh.
I like that.
I always wanted to be on like a news reporter, but I could never be an actual news reporter.
No, you can't do the voice. Entertainment news.
I probably could, but I can't keep a very straight face. They've got to look really solemn.
Ah,
and
yes,
sad,
it's true.
Haven't they? And yeah. I would just be like, I would just, no. I've got too much of a rubbery face.
You do have a bit of a rubbery face, that's true.
I'm not built for Downton Abbey or the general news. I think they're the two things I could never touch. But anywho, this is the part of the show where we tell you what's going on in the world of TV, film, entertainment. Christopher Nolan, I'm going to start off with him.
Yeah.
Because he's come out with a statement saying he's probably done with making superhero films.
I have mixed feelings about this.
Yeah, well, he's made some really good ones.
He has, he really has.
I don't know why he said that.
I don't know.
Or maybe he's trying to have a comeback.
Possible. I mean, he's doing Dunkirk. Maybe he's decided to focus on more epics, things like that. Possible. I don't know.
Historical dramas. I think possibly he's trying to say, no, I'm not going to do it. And then in 2 years' time, it's he's going to be like, I'm back,
could be.
Bitches.
There are lots of superhero films out at the moment. So possibly he thinks it's a flooded market. Who knows?
I think it is a little bit.
I absolutely agree.
Just a little bit. There's this, like, kind of, you know, I'm really looking forward to Dunkirk, actually.
I can't wait. Yeah, we were chatting a bit about this. I really can't wait to see it.
I saw the trailer last night at the cinema. Wasn't invited to the premiere. Cheers. Cheers, Warner Brothers.
Thank you.
I think it was Warner Brothers.
I think it's Warner Brothers. And it's Thinkability, which is Nolan's production company, isn't it? Thinkability and Warner Brothers. Thinkability and Warner Brothers.
Yeah, it looks really amazing. The only thing, and this is what we were discussing earlier, that we're a little bit like, it's Harry Styles.
I know.
One Direction being in the World War.
It's hard to know what to think about that, really, isn't it?
I mean, do you know what? I'm not going to judge it until I see him. Because you know what, Harry? You might absolutely make me eat my words.
He might, excuse the pun, blow it out the water.
He absolutely might. So I'm not going to judge. I just think that I can't get away from... I know when he pops up on screen, I'm going to be like, oh, Harry Styles.
There he is, cut his hair.
And I think it's going to remove part of the magic of,
yeah.
of when you're in a movie and you get completely... What's it called?
Immersed, possibly.
It was called the veil of believability. I might have made that up.
No. I mean, if you haven't, it needs to become a thing.
Yeah, the veil of believability.
Yeah, the veil of believability in films. And
I'm
yes.
going to coin that. I know that's not what I meant, but for sure. I mean, the amount of people who are in this movie. You've got Tom Hardy, Mark Rylance, Kenneth Branagh. Cillian Murphy. Killian?
I think it's Killian. Killian Murphy.
Damn it.
I am such a Mark Rylance fanboy.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. Amazing actor.
Christopher Nolan, he did say that he actually compared casting Harry Styles to casting Heath Ledger in The Joker, which initially I was like, what are you saying that Harry Styles is as good as Heath Ledger? Sacrilege. Heath Ledger was one of my favourite actors ever.
Mm-hmm.
I was so looking forward to his whole lifetime of work that he was going to do.
Much ahead of him.
When he died, I was like, no! Plus also, I was going to marry him, so he completely fell off for
naturally,
me.
Naturally, exactly.
Massively pissed off at him still for not marrying me.
I mean, I suppose in some respects there was a bit of an uproar when Heath Ledger was cast as the Joker.
I don't remember that. I was always like really happy because I loved Heath.
Oh, but, of course, yeah.
But yeah, that's what Christopher Nolan meant. He said that there's a bit of an uproar around Harry, but there was also an uproar around Heath Ledger, and Heath Ledger smashed it out of the park.
He did.
So he's saying, don't worry, Harry's going to do the same. So I'm going to go see that. It's out in cinemas 21st of July.
Ooh, that's not too far.
Not too far. I don't even know where we are. What day are we on today?
I'm not sure.
Are we the 15th?
Something like that. That sounds about right.
We're the 14th. I knew that. 15th tomorrow. That's what I meant. So it's out next week. So I'm going to be like shuffling myself along to the little cinema. See that?
I think I might as well.
So Tarantino. Quentin Tarantino is working on the Manson Murders films, which Chris had to just fill me in what that was about, because I didn't know about the Manson murders. So for anyone out there who is like, the Manson what? Could you fill them in on what you told me?
I will give you as much knowledge as I have. The Manson murders were a... they were murders, first of all. It was the wife of famous film director whose name immediately
Roman
escapes
me.
Roman Polanski's wife, Sharon Tate, was killed by the Manson family. Charles Manson was this weird hippie music cult leader.
And
quite gruesome murders as well. Smearing blood, sort of dye pigs all over the place, and she was pregnant, and it was quite gruesome.
In LA in 1969.
Yeah, really, really sort of shook the entertainment industry at the time, and now there's a film.
Well, that's pretty close. That's not that far away.
Yeah.
To be doing a movie about, I think when people make movies out of, like, real-life disasters, I think there should be some sort of, like, board that needs to decide if it's too soon.
And it's Tarantino as well, and we all know
he's gonna
what
go
he's
to
famous
town.
For.
He's going to go to town, isn't he?
Yeah.
But the A-listers are lining up. We've got Brad Pitt and Jennifer Lawrence potentially auditioning, Margot Robbie, Leonardo DiCaprio. Again, they were good together.
They were. See, now, if you've seen Tarantino's recent films, not The Hateful Eight, but what was the one before The Hateful Eight?
Not Django.
Yes, Django Unchained.
Oh, there we go.
Leonardo DiCaprio actually looks in that a little bit similar to Charles Manson at the time of those murders. That is my suspicion.
Well, Leo likes to go for the dark roles now. Now he knows
he
gets extra kudos at the awards when he goes dark. So I think he might be playing that card, maybe. I don't know. What do we think? Do you think that the Manson murders being made into a film, is that appropriate? Is that okay? Let us know. Tweet us at FUBAR Radio and we will shout you out. Or you can email into the studio, chill@fubarradio.com. Let us know what you think about that. Should Tarantino touch the Manson murders, or is it just a bit too close? And what other films do you think was not appropriate to be made? Like, I think there was movies about, like, the Boston bombings and movies about the Twin Towers, which were made sort of just well within. For me, I was like, I don't know how I feel about this.
Yep,
you know what I mean? We've got a nice little picture of Leo popped up on my computer screen here. Yes. I don't know what Charles Manson looks like, though, so we'd have to compare the two.
Charles Manson had a swastika carved into his forehead, so not entirely like Leo DiCaprio.
Oh, you would just feel wrong and all, because Leo's a hot guy. Like, I fancy Leo, but if he had one of those
on his head,
just going to, like, confuse the hell out of me.
Yeah, it
be
gets
like,
dark.
But a no.
Super dark.
Right, moving on. Mamma Mia, the sequel. It is happening. We've talked about this before. But Lily James has been added. She played Cinderella and most recently was the girl in Baby Driver. Have you seen that movie?
I haven't yet.
Oh my God. I just keep rattling on about this movie. It's my favourite movie of the year so far.
Wow.
I'm going to say it. And so Lily James, she's an English rose. She's from our side of the pond.
Ooh.
So I always like it when English girls really get into the...
I know what you
into
mean.
Into Hollywood. So they're going to be Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, which I guess is like the perfect title. Because if you love Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again!
I guess, what songs do they have left to do though?
Well, yeah, apparently it's all going to be all the ABBA songs that didn't appear in the first one. So
all the bad ones.
So all the reject ABBA
songs. All the other songs.
So that's going to be Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again.
Mm.
But all the stars are coming back. We've got Meryl Streep, Pierce Brosnan, Amanda Seyfried, Christine Baranski, Colin Firth, and Lily James is going to be playing the role of young Donna, so young Meryl Streep, which is... that's old.
Mm. Is it a mummy film? Mamma Mia is a mummy film?
Have you seen it?
No.
Okay.
I'm not a mummy.
Mamma Mia, it's about... ooh, lost my voice. It is about a young girl. She's like 20, 21. And she is marrying her boyfriend.
Oh.
And they go to this Greek island to have the wedding. And she finds a diary of her mum. And she basically realises that she has three potential dads. The mum was a little bit of a Lucy Goosey. And and she was dating three men at the same time back in the 80s or whatever it was. And so the girl decides to invite all three men to her wedding and she's going to find out which one is father of the bride. So it's comedy and it's all they keep bursting into songs, ABBA songs, and it actually works really well. They've somehow managed to weave all the ABBA songs into this story. I haven't seen the stage show, I just saw the movie.
Hmm.
It was quite good. It's really catchy. If you like ABBA, which I do, It was good. Meryl Streep's good as well.
She's always good.
It's a bit cheesy. I don't know where you can find it. I don't think it's on Netflix, but...
DVD? Go old-fashioned?
You could always buy the DVD. all the VHS... Probably not the VHS.
Probably not, no.
Who buys anything on VHS anymore? Do you watch anything on VHS?
But these days, I don't own a VHS anymore.
I wish I did. I can't believe... I had one up until, like, semi-recently, and then I was like, oh, no, I wish I'd kept it.
I did all the conversions in the early 2000s. I had a DVD-VHS combo, and oh, God, we're showing our age, Johanna. This is terrible.
Isn't it? Isn't
I was able just... to convert them all across to DVD.
Well, yeah, I used to love VHS, and I think now I've got, like, a proper nostalgic... thing with it, yeah. And does anyone else still watch VHS's? Like, a couple of times I've gone around to people's houses and I've seen that they've got VHS's on the side, and I'm like, wow, this is like a walk in the park. This is amazing. Do you guys out there, do you listen to VHS? Tweet us at FUBAR Radio. That's a bit of a juxtaposition. If you listen to old school video, tweet us on the new modern way of talking to people. Or you could send us a telegram if you want to be like extra old school.
If you want to go all the way back in time.
Maybe. Right, I'm going to go for another one of our songs now. I'm going to go for, let's go for a bit of Rolling Stones. This is from the Blow soundtrack. So if I can just like load that onto my, no, it's not. It's not letting me load. It's not letting me load. Okay. Fine, let's go.
We could sing.
We could sing. Okay, I'm going to go for something. Well, I think the Rolling Stones just doesn't want to be played right now. So I'm going to go for Bat Pew, which is from How to Be Single. Where's the back row and chill? Professional there. I don't know what happened. I need to flex my fingers. There we go. I'll get back on the board. That was from How to Be Single. Or How Not to Be Single.
How Not to Be Single.
That's the one.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Your favourite movie, isn't it, Chris?
Oh, I love it. Every Friday night.
Every Friday. Right, continuing with a little bit more of entertainment news. District 10.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, apparently it's all kind of, things are a go-go.
Yes.
It's the same guy, I didn't realise, and now I'm like, oh, of course it is. It's the same guy that wrote and directed Elysium and Chappie.
Yes, yeah.
Did District 9, which has recently come onto Netflix, and I've watched it again recently.
It's
just
so
such
good.
A good film,
it's
isn't
such
it?
Such a great film. It's just different.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I love the fact that it's like it's just so clever, because obviously there's serious apartheid analogies.
Yep.
Set in South Africa. If anyone hasn't checked out District 9, it is a sort of mockumentary.
I think is the word.
It starts off as a mockumentary,
but
and
it
then
turns into a drama almost.
Then, without realizing, you stop watching a mockumentary, and it just a genuine film.
Yeah,
happens.
It's like The Office. But sci-fi, and then suddenly it just takes a shift.
It's brilliant. I was going to say it takes a shift.
It takes a shift.
It's absolutely brilliant, and it kind of ends on a cliffhanger. Mm. So obviously the director said he'd like to go back and finish the story of the main guy, because he did an absolutely amazing job.
It's so good.
Really check out District 9 if you can. And District 10's on the way, and I'm so excited.
I can't wait.
It was originally made with a budget of like 30 million, and then it banked like 280 million at the box
office.
That's crazy. So they were like, wow.
Because it was like presented by Peter Jackson, wasn't it, District 9?
So he kind of got on board as a producer. And apparently, the reason why it all kind of came together, Peter Jackson put his own money into it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he funded it himself. Because he bought the Halo set and costumes on the cheap, because the Halo movie fell through.
No way.
So if you look at the design of the ship and the design of all the alien gear, it's all Halo gear.
That makes so much sense. The guns as well, with the sort of diamonds sticking out of it, are very Halo.
The guns are, it's all Halo, and the Halo movie never happened, and Christopher Nolan, Peter Jackson picked it up on the cheap and decided to put his own money into it.
How interesting.
And make the movie, and it was brilliant. A little bit of Star Wars. I know you're a Star Wars fan.
I am a huge Star Wars fan.
I'm a Star Wars fan. Well, there's been a bit of controversy over the Monopoly game. The Star Wars official branded Monopoly game, because it does not feature a Rey player, which...
I mean, that seems a little counterintuitive.
It seems weird, because considering she is the...
She's the main character.
And the main character. All the boys are there. Finn, Kylo Ren, they're all in there, but they didn't feature the girl. And when they there's a lot of complaints about it, and when they like talked to the company and was like, what's going on? Even the director made
what's the
it,
deal, guys?
Yeah, like, why have you not got the girl? They were like, there was a lack of interest for the girl character, which I was like,
bull.
But then why is everyone complaining
not
then?
Not true.
And they were like, if you want the girl character, you just have to call customer services and then you can get one sent or whatever. I was like, well, that's a long way around the garden, isn't it?
Why would you just... not include the main character.
The main character of the bloody film, they didn't...
The main character of the trilogy, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I...
Well, we don't know, but...
We don't know, but we can certainly guess that she's probably going to be the last Jedi.
I mean...
You know.
But is Jedi plural or single? That's the question.
Ooh, that is the question. Oh. I don't know. So they even started a hashtag called Where's Rey? trying to get the poor girl onto some merchandise.
There you go. Hashtag Where's Rey Monopoly.
Hashtag Where's Rey.
Crikey, if there's a Derby version of Monopoly, Rey should be a counter in the Star Wars version.
For sure. Let's do it. TV. Right. So a bit of a shake up if you are a Kermit the Frog fan. The guy who has been voicing Kermit the Frog for the last like 30 years has been sacked. So
I can't believe it.
Initially,
I'm shook.
Yeah, initially the rumor that it was reported that he'd like left, but they didn't say why. Mm. And then now he's come out. He's written a blog post, like a tell-all blog post. His name's Steve Whitmire, and he's worked with the Muppets since 1978, and he has been Kermit's voice since 1990. Well, I didn't realize that Jim Henson used to voice Kermit.
You didn't realise that?
I didn't know that, no.
Really? Yeah, Jim Henson was the original Kermit.
He was the original Kermit. Jim Henson died in 1990, and so Steve Whitmire took over. So ever since then, like 27 years, he's played Kermit, and they have recently given him the boot.
That is amazing. Because I'm a closet Muppets fanatic.
Yeah.
I've loved them since I was a kid. And I know that he did, like, Muppets Christmas Carol, if I remember correctly, which is a fantastic film, was the first of the films after Jim Henson's death, I believe. And
he
that was
it.
His first appearance. Steve Whitmore voiced him then.
Or Whitmire. And so the new guy is a guy called Matt Vogel, and he played the Count on Sesame Street. That one potato, two potato. Yes, so now the Count guy, but I just don't... if it's not broken, why fix it?
I don't know. He said in his blog post that there were two reasons stated. But he didn't say what those reasons are.
I know.
We can talk about that for ages, negotiating, that's not the word, debating why he left.
We can debate or like theorising.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Kermit the Frog is going to change. But, I don't know, will kids notice?
probably not. Anyone with a good sort of pedigree and impressions can do a good Kermit the Frog, but still, a little bit upsetting because he was picked by Jim Henson to voice Kermit.
Yeah, so Jim Henson passed on the baton of the frog and said...
The baton of the frog.
And I'm making up all kinds of, like, sayings this week. It's brilliant. So he passed it on, and I don't know... What would Jim Henson do, basically? And that not what you're doing, company who own...
Disney.
Is it Disney? Oh, bad.
Yeah.
That is two really bad moves for Disney. They're not putting the main girl character in their merchandise, and they're sacking Kermit the Frog.
They are.
What is life?
What's going on at Disney?
What the hell is going on, Disney? Pull your shit together. What the hell? This is not... I'm feeling a bit emotional.
It's all right. It'll be fine. It'll be okay.
Right. So we're coming up. We're about to speak to our first guest of the week, which is really exciting. I'm going to see if my musical deck will let me play the Rolling Stones again now that I've had a moment. Please, this is Can't You Hear Me Knocking from the Blow soundtrack. This is Back Row and Chill. Oh, it worked!
It's been a mad week of showbiz. Do you like Ascot?
I love it.
Oh, you love it?
Are you surprised by that?
I was.
I love seeing the awful
Why are you
hats.
Looking at me when you're saying awful? One year I got compared to the bird on Sesame Street. Big Bird. Was not happy. But this hat has given me, honestly, a dent in my head. Oh, it killed. And I remember saying my head was throbbing and then I got this big lump on my head. It weighed 3 stone, this hat.
3 stone?
Seriously, it's given my car a punch of tyre. I had to put it in the boot. It weighed it down.
Every Thursday, access all areas. From 6 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. It's currently Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and
Chris Keegan.
And we've got our first guest in the studio, so a huge welcome to Yanni Agisolo.
Hello.
Woohoo!
Good to be here.
Welcome,
nice to
welcome.
Have you.
Where's your accent from?
Oh, it's from Melbourne, Australia.
Amazing. Yeah. Other side of the world.
But the name's from Cyprus.
Ooh,
interesting mix.
There's a lot going on, you know. There's some immigration, and then clearly I'm here, so there's some more immigration.
Double immigration sandwich. This is brilliant. And you are here to talk to us about your new show.
Yeah, I'm doing a show at the Edinburgh Fringe.
The Edinburgh Fringe, which is not your first show at the Edinburgh Fringe,
no,
is it?
I think it's about my 12th show, so...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You're, like, a regular...
Yeah, so I was going to say I'm the Roger Federer, but I'm not that good.
I've never done a Fringe show.
Do you know, I haven't either.
Yeah,
you know what? I spoke to, like, about 20 people on the way here. None of them had either.
I know. What are the chances?
I know.
So, I mean, I have just big respect for anyone who does go, especially it's one man...
Yeah, one man.
It's one man show.
One man, one microphone,
oh
a whole lot of uncertainty.
That just scares the
Amazing.
Shit out of me. But this is exciting, you know. Does it terrify you still, or is it a bit more of a routine?
No. I mean, it's like sort of going, oh, you know, if you drive a car, you've been driving for like 15 years, and
okay.
people go, does it still terrify you to get the car? You go, no, I know what I'm doing now. So, yeah, I mean, it used to scare me a lot. You know, you get the butterflies, and
yeah.
you could, you know, sometimes you just spit something out and go, why did I say that? And you go, oh, because it was like a first date, and I was nervous.
Yeah.
But now I'm pretty... I mean, I've been doing it for 17 years, so, you know, if I was still getting scared now, maybe, I don't know, maybe I should maybe quit or something.
Maybe you shouldn't do it. So your show is called Pockets of Equality.
Yeah, Pockets of Equality.
Why is it called that and how did it come about?
Okay, so basically it comes from a story where my girlfriend and I went to Uniqlo and we both bought jeans, like black stretch jeans. She got the women's jeans and I got the men's jeans. And we both bought them and then like about 2 days later, I accidentally wore her jeans by mistake.
By hashtag accident.
Yes, well, no. Look, the panties, that was on purpose. But the jeans, that was an accident. And I didn't even realise, even though like the crotch is like about 2 inches low and they were really tight and I was like, no, I've just been doing legs, you know. And but no, when I realised, it was when I put my hands in her bloody pockets and there's no pockets.
Yeah.
Like women's jeans and trousers have negligible pockets. I mean, Johanna, have you got... Yeah, look at you. You can hardly fit your hand in there.
I've got about a little finger depth going on there.
I've got my entire world in my pockets.
Yeah,
right
and
now.
You, but you've got a Starfleet t-shirt on. I mean, like, I think in the future they've eliminated. Like, when
they
you look
have.
At the Starfleet uniforms, no one's got pockets,
no,
have they?
No one has pockets at all.
Yeah, so feminism's failed in the future.
In the future of Star Trek, yeah. But yeah, I actually have got really shit pockets. You've just made me realise that.
Well, there you go. And this is the ridiculous thing was, so my girlfriend had my jeans on and she was having the best day of her life.
Yeah.
She was, and the thing was, she bought those jeans particularly because apparently they had big pockets, but that was only big for women's pockets.
Yeah.
So I was like wearing them and I came, I said, I think I've got your jeans on. The pockets are tiny. And she was like, yeah, I thought these were really, really big. Like, she just had a whole day where she was like, you know, like keys in there and a wallet and like 10,000 books and not even like a Kindle, just like physical books.
Amazing.
So it's basically, that's the story I sort of jump off from. And then it's a whole hour of just about society's rules and expectations about, you know, when you're a man or a woman and all the double standards that there are and things
for
like
sure.
that. Yeah. So that was where I got the idea from.
Ooh. And how is it received? Because obviously, this whole subject matter could be quite touchy.
Well, I don't know. I don't think it is touchy because if you just talk about it, I mean, they're everyday things. It's not even like, they're things like, you know, like my girlfriend works in an office and then one day she went into work without any makeup on and people were like, oh, are you okay? Like, you don't look that well.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of like, no, that's just how I look.
That's just my face.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my trick of ever getting out of school or job. I would just go in with no makeup on and they'd be like, Jesus, are you okay? I'm like, really?
Yeah, you look like a man. I mean, it's terrible.
I'm not feeling well. I'm transitioning and I just need some time. And yeah, no. It was my little trick, but it is bad that can happen, that you should have to wear. Once I got fired for a job for not wearing heels.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
What was it? Was it like, you know, picking fruit out of a tree or something like
no,
that? Like, did you really need to be
tall? Was this in the 1960s?
No, this was...
it's Mad Men.
Yeah.
This was only a couple of years ago. I used to work on... I was working on freelance on makeup counters in different stores. So I went to the House of Fraser and they expected you to do a sort of 7-hour shift on the floor in heels.
How high did the heels have to be? Like big proper stiletto ones?
Yeah, like stiletto heels. And
wow.
I was like, I'm behind a counter. You can't even see my feet. So I went in and I just wore flat shoes and... some of the girls were like, oh, they never check. The day that I decided to do that was the day that like the district manager came down and she saw me and was like, where are your heels? I was like, oh, they're at home. And she was like, go home and get them or don't come back. And I did a I'm leaving moment. And I, like,
you can't fire me. I quit.
I did.
And I'll be walking out using my actual heels, which are in my flat shoes. Yeah. Thank you very much.
I quit and I walked out and then it felt great for like 5 minutes and I was like, shit, I don't have a job. But yeah, I couldn't believe that you had to. It was like not like an optional thing.
Exactly. And you know, and if you're a guy, you can get fired for the opposite. Why are you wearing heels? Well, it's just the thing I like to do.
That's happened to me multiple times.
That's so true. Ooh, I'm feeling like video ideas coming on here. I make comedy videos for the internet in my spare time. Well, actually now full time. But yeah, sometimes you get an idea and go bing.
Mm.
Heels.
Yeah, so basically that's the whole idea. So it's just about those little things, like the day-to-day things, like my mum's like 68 years old now, right? And I was in the car with her with my brother, and she was like, oh, I'm thinking of going to Bali with my girlfriends. And my brother was like, oh, you're going to get a bit of Bobo done? That's like what he calls Botox, right? He's like, going to get a bit of Bobo done? And my mum was like, well, we were thinking about it. And I just looked at my mum. I was like, mum, you're like, you are beautiful and you're 69 and you don't need Botox, right? And my brother was like, get it done, I reckon. He's just a bit cheeky. And then she turned around and she thanked him. Right? She was like, thanks, Steve. And
thanks,
I was
for
like,
the support.
Yeah, thanks for the support. And I was like, that's insane. Mm-hmm. Just crazy stuff like that.
I'm a little bit worried, like legit worried about sort of the future of people's faces, just because it is so on trend right now to copy all the Kylie Jenners and having, it's like completely normal to get stuff injected you're like not even near aging. Like your face hasn't really proper start. Like my face didn't really come into my face until I was like 25. So if you're like 19 and injecting your lips already...
Who does that when they're 19?
Oh, all the Kylie Jenner wannabe follow-up people. Oh.
There's a bunch of people in LA that do it. It's really on trend. It really is.
But now,
really?
It's like, it's so normal. And I'm not judging anyone if they do it. I'm kind of staying neutral. But I do think, like, what if big lips and whatever just are not fashionable in like 10 years?
Yeah.
It's highly possible.
And you know what I mean? Like the big lips, they're all the rage now, and the big bums and everything. But
that's how trends work, isn't it? Like it goes all the way one way, and then someone goes, back. I'm going to do the opposite. And everyone's like, oh, I wish I had thought of that.
That's the sort of the big joke at the moment, isn't it? And they're like, you know, when I was 15 to 20, the big joke was, does my bum look big in this? And the answer would always be, no. And that's the correct answer. It's completely flipped 180
does
now.
Does my mum look big? No. Shit!
Exactly.
Let's
damn it.
It is weird. I mean, I'm thinking that there's also going to be a huge sort of backwards trend of pubic hair. It's going to come right back around again. And all these girls...
Exactly. And everyone's going to wear the short shorts just with a little bit slipping out down the bottom. And everyone will be like, oh, that's so hot.
So saucy.
And then a wisp. But I think there's going to be... I mean, maybe I'll start my own company now, but I think there's going to be like weave...
Oh,
you're gonna
start the Merkin Express.
I think so.
That's what you should call it, American Express.
Yeah. Because I think all these girls are getting rid of their hair, and then they're gonna be panicking, and they're gonna want to have stuff to clip on and glue on and all that sort of stuff.
Well, maybe they won't even be able to grow it back. Like I remember there was like this woman who ran the fish and chip shop where I lived, and she had no eyebrows and my mum, I said, did she draw her eyebrows on? And mum was like, it's because back in the day, everyone just used to take them off completely off and just draw them on, and some people like took them off and then they couldn't grow them back.
Yeah.
Jesus, my nightmare.
And now everyone's getting their eyebrows tattooed on.
Yes, insane. I have a friend who's basically like, she was like, if this job doesn't work out, I'm going to get a job tattooing people's eyebrows on.
For sure, it's like the number one, everyone's doing it.
Maybe in 5 years, like the job will actually be, it used to be eyebrows and now it's pubes.
Yes!
Oh tattooed pubes!
Yeah!
That is a genius idea!
Oh, okay, well there you go.
You'd have to pick really carefully your style.
So I'm on the radio now, I'm announcing that if anyone makes money out of that, 15% is mine.
For sure. It is definitely, that was your idea. We actually witnessed the birth of that idea. That's
genius. It's a good thing that it's on tape.
Oh my gosh, microblading your vagina though. Really? Ooh, I don't know.
How sexist? You said just vagina. I think there'll be men as well, just kind of going,
sure.
Just thickening it up.
Yeah, thick it out.
I'm not too, yeah.
Yes, well, you're just going to fall behind trend, aren't you?
I will. I'm just going to stick with my current clean shaven look. I'm fine.
Yeah. That's when someone goes, I'm actually happy to get old now.
Yeah, just fuck it. Whatever. So back to the show, Pockets of Equality. If people are like, I'm loving the time of this guy, how can I find your stuff or where can I see you?
Okay, so basically my website is Why Comedian. Like, that's the letter Y, not like, why is this guy a comedian?
Okay, Why Comedian.
Whycomedian.com, and that's got all my socials on it. It's got all my list of where I've got gigs and where the Edinburgh show's on and all sorts of stuff like that.
So when you're not up in Scotland, that you sort of gig around the country?
Yeah, around the country, in Australia. I've been in the UK for the past 15 years. So yeah, just that's what I do.
Mm.
I do the funnies in the places.
I've never been to Australia.
Me neither.
It's one of my, like, oh, I'd love to go.
You should come, but bring your heels because, you know.
Oh, yeah. You're only allowed heels off the plane in Australia.
Absolutely.
This is cool. And so it runs for an hour. Do you find that that is that exhausting?
No.
Or is that... The right amount of time.
I mean, when I was at school, my teacher used to call me motor mouth. So I think I can talk for an hour. Thank you very much. So
putting those skills to use that you learned at school.
You do the show sometimes and people go, that was amazing. I can't believe you speak for an entire hour. And I was like, oh, that's what's impressive, is it? It's not like the creativity. it's the stamina.
And you won Best Comedy at Perth Fringe.
I got nominated for Best Comedy at Perth Fringe.
Oh, no.
I don't
want to
blow my
own. It said nominated there. I just read it backwards. I'm going to blame.
And as we all know, nominated backwards is one.
Is win. It's,
exactly. I'm predicting the future here.
Wow.
That's what we do in the show. So you are going to win.
Wow.
One day.
Okay. They're going to retrospectively give me the award that I lost and take it off the people who won. They're going to be very pissed off about that.
God, it'll be like the Oscars this year. Sorry. It was actually... Yeah,
I mean, that's bad enough, except when they do it 6 months later on.
Oh, crikey.
Oh, we've had an email in talking about this subject from Georgie. It says, hi, guys. I wanted to be an air hostess, but during training, they told me that I had to wear specific makeup and heels, so I packed it in. It's so weird that a workplace can put rules on your appearance. Yeah, I mean, gosh, air hostessing in heels as well.
Mm.
I think that's part, like, clown training, really. You're holding all these trays and walking in the middle of the air. That's like a high tightrope.
Stilt walking. That's high stilt walking.
It is.
Well, and it's also the fact that, I mean, there's obviously air hosts, and no one's telling them, well, you've got to wear makeup, and you've got to wear this,
Very
and you've
true.
Got to wear that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I just think it's kind of crazy that... I mean, the makeup thing especially is just, it's a super double standard.
I bet it was a board man or something, some sort of boardroom guy. I'd be like, well, where's your makeup, mate? I think you need it. Look at those paws.
Where are your heels, air steward?
But does that mean only the girls? Like, what about the guy stewards?
I don't know.
I think, you know, do you remember when it was really hot about 3 weeks ago and a lot of men wanted to wear shorts to their work and they weren't allowed to wear shorts and a bunch of them went in wearing dresses?
Yeah.
Because the dress code was basically saying, well, you can wear dresses, but you can't wear shorts. So one day, and also at a school, a bunch of kids did it.
I saw that on the news in solidarity. They all went in dresses. And all these boys had such balls. It was amazing.
Yeah, I reckon like all the air stewards should do the same thing. Like one day, just basically go in dresses and makeup, right? And just kind of go, well, you know, this is just to point out an inconsistency.
Yeah, for sure.
I would love that. I'm flying that airline.
Yeah.
That would be fun airline.
Absolutely.
I used to really put air hostesses when I was a kid. I used to really want to be one. There was this sort of dream about,
glamour to it, isn't
it? Yeah, I didn't really think about like the actual having to fly to all these, getting jet lag all the time.
It's a 24-hour shift as a waiter, really.
Yeah, basically. I just thought it was like, wow, because back in the day, flying in an aeroplane, it was the coolest, most amazing thing ever. Like, the longer the flight, the better, because the more movies you could watch, it was just the best. And then now, as I get older, every time I take off, I'm a bit like, well, the laws of probability. How many times can I fly around the world before something bad happens? I get more nervous as I get older rather than more relaxed.
Mm. If the plane crashes, they'll have to identify you using your heels.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. The Primark, that's Diana.
Primark.
Do you know, I think Richard Branson served as an air hostess on one of his flights a few years back in full makeup, heels and dress.
Really?
It might have been he lost a bet. But I have a very strong memory of photos of him all over the Virgin website, dressed up as an air hostess with full makeup, heels, the number.
I heard that Richard Branson actually just likes doing that, and he said he lost a bet.
That's it.
Unfortunately, I've lost a bet with who? No more questions. Thank you very much.
And just how do you put together a show like Pockets of Equality? Where do you start from? Well, obviously you started from your real life experience, but actually writing the entire hour?
I just think up stories, experiences. I tell my friends that I'm writing a show about this, and then often they'll share stories. Just sort of collate the material and then just sort of like work out which stories I think really illustrate it best, work out a structure of where I want it to start and where I want it to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just fluff it out. Like, I just write jokes around the stories. And then you do it and you hope that it works. And then you do it, you see how it goes, and then the bits that work, you keep them in. The bits that don't, you chuck them out. And that's basically how it evolves. I mean, I've done it in Australia at about 5 festivals. So when I do my first show in Edinburgh, it'll be about the 70th time I've done it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And What do you? What? Who would you go and see when you're in Edinburgh? Or do you have any time to go and see the?
Oh yeah, yeah. You've always got time, but there's like no end of. What's that law? They say that the amount of work you have to do expands to fit the time that you have to do it.
Yes.
Basically like that, except on a 24
essay
hour
theory.
Clock.
Yeah, I call it essay theory. If you can get given a month to write an essay, it'll take you a month. An hour, you can do it in an hour.
Yep, very true.
Yeah, and your friends are like, you want to come out? And you go, I can't. I've got an essay, and then you stay at home and watch box sets.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. No, there's heaps of really good comedians. There's Abandaman. Do you know Abandaman? Rob Broderick. They're fantastic.
I'm gonna go
see those guys. Daniel Kitson's doing a show there who I saw in Melbourne. I might go and see how that's evolved. But I mean, it's just the world's biggest arts festival, and like some of the best stuff you're gonna see, you don't even know it exists before you even go.
Yeah.
You're gonna wander up, someone in a pub's gonna go, I saw this thing, it was the best, and you know, you just go along. So if you are heading up, that's my advice. Like just keep talking to people, tell them what you've liked, ask them what they've liked, and
word of mouth.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Best way.
And also, if you go to a free fringe show at the end, you know, we ask for a collection, and you know, the buckets can get very heavy. So I recommend notes instead of coins.
That's a good idea. You know, just practically.
Absolutely.
So when are you performing from? It's the 5th to the 27th of August.
Yeah, basically it's the first Saturday till the last Sunday, and I'm on every day except I've taken Mondays off this year, which is totally unprecedented. Mm. That's what you do after you've been doing it 15 years. You become an old man and go, I can't do seven days a week.
I think you've definitely earned your. If there was like a Scouts badge for Edinburgh Festival,
exactly, the Edinburgh Fringe Scouts badge.
That's right.
Yeah, you've definitely got that,
and it's a green badge too, not the red one or the blue one. It's like the high level green Edinburgh Fringe badge.
Absolutely.
Have you ever considered doing not a one man? Have you done sort of group shows?
Well, I do another show which I host, right? And it's with three other comedians, and it's called Comedians Against Humanity. So and that's basically an improvised comedy show where everyone in the audience gets three of the white cards against humanity cards, and then we just then we get the suggestions for the comedians to improvise on from the cards. So that's like a sort of group show where, you know, they do some impro and they bounce off me, bounce off the audience. It's super, super fun. And so yeah, I've done that, and I've done a couple of shows, sketch comedy shows, improv shows, things like that. So, but you know, stand up sort of, it's not my first love, but it's my main thing.
And how did you start like all those years ago? Like,
well, I was at law school and I thought, this won't do.
You were like, I object to this life. I'm going to
pretty much
go to the stage, darling.
No, I was studying law and finance, which is all true. And my mum has 2 degrees in a drawer at home. 2 degrees and some lost dreams. And so I basically started doing comedy while I was at uni. And it got to a point where I was working at this law firm and I was just talking to other artistically minded people. You always find each other, you know, if you work in an office environment, you're kind of like, are you a misfit? I'm a misfit too.
Yeah.
Do you want to leave? I want to leave as well. And, you know, people would say stuff like, oh, you do stand up. And I said, yeah. And they were like, well, you know, are you good at it? And I was like, I think so. People tell me I'm good at it. And then they say, well, could you do it for a living? And I was like, I think so. And, you know, I remember about two people saying to me, if I could do anything else other than this, I would do it. And so I just decided, I'd been traveling. I took a gap year after uni. I came to the UK. I was on the circuit doing some gigs, and I knew there was a big comedy circuit here. So I just made a decision, and I thought, I'm going to move over. And that was in 2004 with my Cyprus passport. They just joined the EU. So I've been here for the entire EU thing, for the start, the middle, and the end.
And if you've got, are there any like budding stand-up comedians out there who's like, oh, where do I start? What do I do? I think I want to do this, but what do I do?
Well, it's like if someone says, you know, oh, I really want to sing, you wouldn't tell them, you go, well, just go into the garden and plant some tomatoes. You'd be like, sing. That's what, if you want to do a thing, do it, right? If you want to be a comic, go to comedy nights, watch comics, and then pick an open spot night, write some jokes and just go and do them.
Stand
and you
up.
Will be terrible, but that's what it is when you start, you know? You can't expect to just roll in and be amazing at something you've never done before. But
for sure.
Yeah, you just do it and keep going, and then eventually you get to sit in a radio studio and say, well, I've been doing it for 17 years, you see.
I've got the Edinburgh Fringe Scouts Badge of Honour. That was it. My little question just floated away in the air.
I have one.
Go on.
And you clearly a fan of comedy at the Fringe.
Yeah.
Is there any other type of performance you go up there? Because I know there's a lot of burlesque and things up there, which I'm a big fan of.
Right. I don't know. I always see a bit of everything. Like, I mean, my brother's a choreographer and a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know that much about it, but I've sort of been exposed to it. And there's heaps of dance up at the Fringe. So I normally see like one dance show or something. And then there's always like a play that I want to see. Like, you know, someone's doing 1984 as a play or something like that. And then there's always some weird thing that I took my mum to this thing called Fuerza Bruta. Did anyone know about Fuerza Bruta?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's this Argentinian sort of like circusy interactive experience, and you take a bus out to this weird big shipping like dock, and they set this whole thing up, and it's all done with, like, you know, high tempo dance music, and there's just weird sort of things like that that exist that you'll never see anywhere else. So I always go and see one of those things. That's the older I get, Sonny, the more I appreciate the fact that there really is nowhere like Edinburgh in the whole world. So when you're there, you've got to take advantage of it.
I went to Edinburgh for the first time. It was pissing it down with rain. We were trying to film. It was wet. Beautiful city, but wet. But it, even though it's in, you know, the United Kingdom, it felt so foreign. Because the city is so old and cobbled, and I felt like all of us there on the film crew kept going, I feel like we're in sort of...
Well, since 2004, it's felt like Hogwarts.
Yes.
Like, that's
absolutely
basically it. You look and go, is that Hogwarts? And it's like, well, they did film some of the external shots there. That's why you think that's Hogwarts.
Oh. No, just be like, yes, that is Hogwarts. Yes, it is.
Exactly.
And then for the Fringe, the whole city just changes, morphs completely.
Well, I always say to people, they go, how do you describe Edinburgh? And I say, well, you know, in Melbourne Comedy Festival, they put a comedy festival in the city. At the Edinburgh Fringe, the city becomes a festival. And that's the difference, is that literally is a show here, and then two doors down there's a show, and then there's another show. And it's just insane. Like, there's nothing like it. It's so overwhelming, and it just really takes it over.
One day I must get my shit together.
Me
and,
too.
And go up. We should make a pact. We push
right
the
here,
other
what
right
about
now.
What about this year?
Well, I've got something on in October, so... You know.
I've got something on for that entire month.
Yeah, just every day. So we are talking about Pockets of Equality, brand new show. It's going to be on at the Edinburgh Fringe this year, 5th to the 27th of August. Where is the location of it?
Oh, it's at the Banshee Labyrinth, which is this insane rock bar. I've never done a show there before, but I've seen heaps of shows. It's one of these things, you know, one of these typical Edinburgh buildings where you could take your phone in there and die and no one would know because there's just like 5 meters of rock between you and outside. And it's just, yeah, this real gothic sort of rock bar, and they've got a bunch of rooms, sort of 40, 50 seater rooms, and it's a real classic Edinburgh-y sort of vibe.
So if people want tickets, where shall they head to?
Well, it's part of the Free Fringe, which is basically where I don't pay for the venue, audience don't pay to come in, and then we do a collection. So it's basically like busking. So you go in, you see the show, and you pay what you think it was worth.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and so it's a really nice way of making the Fringe affordable.
Yeah.
And you get all sorts of people putting what they can afford. One dude put £50 in my bucket one time. And it was a Scottish...
Balling.
It was a Scottish £50 note, which I'm reliably assured by the Bank of England doesn't exist. It does exist.
Oh,
but
okay.
I'm just saying, like, you have to spend that because you can't even spend an English 50 without people looking at you weird down here.
Yeah. I didn't even see one until I was like 22. It was like a myth.
Yes, exactly.
Like, what is this massive piece of red paper with the Queen on? What?
Yeah. You can have the Jabberwocky or the £50 note. Well, I'll take the Jabberwocky because it exists.
Yeah, duh. Fake Monopoly money. Well, a huge, huge thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks
and
for having
all
me.
All the best of luck. I mean, I don't even need to give you luck. You're pro at this.
Listen, if you've done at the Edinburgh Fringe, you know, you take all the luck you can.
Amazing. So I'm going to go into a little bit of music now. We're going to go Welcome to the Jungle, Guns N' Roses, which recently was on what movie trailer? Does anyone know?
No.
Ooh, it's the new Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
Of course.
There's a new Jumanji?
Yes, it's coming out.
Dwayne Rock Johnson. Oh, it's going to be
Dwayne
amazing.
Dwayne Rock Johnson, Jack Black, Kevin Hart. It looks quite good. So
someone's going to do it in Edinburgh.
Yeah, for sure. So this is Welcome to the Jungle on Back Row and Chill.
Joe Page Show. It's all about new music. It's all about alternative music. It's all about in-depth band interviews. All about hilarious little games with a musical twist. And it's all about teaching my dumb old musical mate, Si Thomas, the other side of the desk, all about music, because he knows nothing.
With Oasis, what are your thoughts then? Because I've got a thought on them.
Go on, you give me...
Right, everyone watches them. They share clips of them going, oh, aren't they? Oh, I can't believe it. They speak the truth, or they just don't care what they say. There's no filter, blah, blah, blah. They're just not like dickheads.
Every Wednesday.
Joey Page.
From 2 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. It's Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and...
Chris Keegan.
And we are halfway through the show. Congratulations, Chris.
Ooh, thank you very much.
And we have our second guest into the studio. So a huge welcome to Rose Robinson and Joseph Hancock.
Hello.
Hello. Stage... Brilliant names. They sound like super famous already.
Very theatrical.
You call me Joseph. Only my mum calls me Joseph.
Sorry.
I'm going to start calling you Joseph. You should.
Joseph, behave. I know when a full name comes out, it gives a bit of a... Oh,
business.
Does something wrong. Mum? Yeah.
It's like that kid in the supermarket getting told off and you think it's you.
Now, Joseph. What?
Yeah. Jesus.
Do you remember when you used to get lost in the supermarket?
All the time.
And you have to go on the tannoy.
I have a very vivid memory of holding onto my mum's trolley and turning round and it not being my mother. And I just shit my pants.
I
cannot think of anything more scary in that moment.
I had a friend who, when he got lost as a little boy, got lost. And so they went to the tannoy person and said, "What's your name?" And then the tannoy came over and his name was James. And they were like, "Can Henry's parents please come?" And when they came, the parents came and went, "Why did you say your name was Henry?" He was like, "I like the name." I was like, he didn't really quite get the concept, did he, about the lost children? Anywho, you guys are here to tell us all about Great British Mysteries, which is a brand new show, which you're going to take up to the Fringe.
Yeah, we're there all month.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Amazing. Yeah. This looks super, right up my street, exciting. What is Great British Mysteries about as a show?
Well, it's a sort of... it's like a live mockumentary presented by two pretty strange presenters called Olive Bacon and Dr. Teddy Tyrrell. And they've spent years looking into all of the British mysteries that, you know, like the what is Stonehenge, the Prince in the Tower, the Tim Hemman special. You know, we really look into everything. And to this show is a sort of best bits. So we kind of have a countdown of the best bits from these different episodes, and then we show the full winning episode in all its glory, which is, of course, Loch Ness.
I was always fascinated by Loch Ness as a kid, and I saw the movie, which convinced me, of course, I'm real. So have you seen Loch Ness, the movie?
I haven't, no.
It's like a little early 90s gem.
Yeah, watched it the other day, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's this little girl that lives in Scotland, and she is friends with the Loch Ness monster.
With Nessie?
Yeah, because I think it's a journalist comes down? He goes over to try and prove that Loch Ness is not real.
Ah.
Makes friends with the little girl.
And pretty keen on her hot mum as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
He fancies her mum, who's the innkeeper.
Oh, there's so many levels to this film.
It was a good little movie. I think I watched it when I was around the same age as the girl, and I used to... And the thing that I always remember was the guy said, "Oh, I know what the Loch Ness monster sounds like." Rawr! And she's like, "No, it sounds like..." And they whistle, so the Loch Ness monsters whistle. So I used to go around all these lakes whistling as a child, looking very weird, but like in hope that some sort of monster would come out.
Our Loch Ness monster meows like a cat.
That's amazing.
And we spent about an hour on Spotify trying to find cat sound effects, and eventually Rose just went, "I'll just do it." So if you see the show, the cat sound effect is actually Rose Robinson. Yep.
Fantastic. How did the show come about?
Yeah.
It came about, it's sort of a few different things in a way. So Will and I have always been talking about doing a show together that would involve lots of different tales that would be presented by two oddballs.
Mm.
But it was a very, very loose idea. And then it was sort of all over one coffee back in October. We were saying, what can these stories be? We're completely stumped. And then somebody suggested British Mysteries, Great British Mysteries. And then it kind of splurged out from there. It was like, it was the kind of firework.
Mm.
And then suddenly it was like, oh, yeah, we could do blah, blah, Jack the Ripper, blah, blah, blah. And it kind of, yeah, it snowballed a bit from there. The character that I play, Olive, she is... I did a little bit of... tried out some solo character, sort of stand-up, like, yeah, character, mm. character performance, and did a competition called Funny Women back in September last year.
Oh, I've heard about that, yeah.
Which was great fun, and so... We sort of realised that she's probably the she's exactly the kind of girl who would want to present Great British Mysteries. She's sort of really into the Tudors, loves a terrible ghost story, and it's yeah, just a very strange young girl. And this is almost like a few years later, if everything went to plan for Olive, she'd be presenting Great British Mysteries. So it's a dream come true for her.
And would you ever consider sort of transferring the show onto like a series, like a film, TV series?
Yeah, well, the whole thing is kind of done as though it's been running for 7 series.
Oh, okay.
So when you come into it, it's almost, we play it that the audience is watching something that they know really well. So there's loads of references to things that you don't get
okay.
that hopefully work, are sort of subtle enough that you know that you're not meant to get them, but they're very... yeah, they're very niche. So, and the confidence from Olive and Teddy is the confidence of people who've been doing very well for themselves for the last 7 years. So it's kind of done as a sort of fake TV programme, and it's almost like you're in the room. Yeah, we just wanted to do something that went across lots of different locations. It feels very filmic. The whole thing's kind of underscored all the way through
mm-hmm.
with like loads of old kind of film scores and
amazing.
Hitchcock. And yeah, it's pretty weird. But it feels very filmic. We've tried to make something that feels like Strange But True, or like Most Haunted Live, or you know, those kind of old 1950s horror films that just have this really grainy feel to it. So everything's very low lit and very murky and very mysterious.
And is this the first time you guys have gone to Edinburgh?
It is, as this, yeah, our company's the Cloak and Dagger Club, and we've, yeah, this is our first show. We've been up in different ways. Like, Will and I went up a couple of years with a sketch show called Mixed Doubles, and Joe came up with us last year.
Yeah.
And you've done several shows up
yeah,
there.
Yeah, Will and I were at uni together, so our first Edinburgh was actually 9 years ago this year.
Ooh.
Doing a kind of drama, a terrible drama society show. And somehow we're still cracking on.
Yeah.
So we've all kind of done different things in different ways, but it feels in a weird way like... this is all of those separate ideas coming together. I mean, the whole thing is just we've just every idea we've ever had
mm-hmm.
for the last 30 years
yeah.
you kind of cram it into one show.
And did you ever find anything really cool out about like actual British mysteries that you are like, oh, I didn't know that? Because I've heard about Jack the Ripper, I've heard about the Great Loch Ness.
The Great
I'm just inventing
Loch Ness.
Its name now, the Great
Nessie.
Nessie. Was there anything, a bit of history that you actually learnt yourself?
There's a guy called Scott who was a kind of beginning of the century version of Attenborough. So he would go round and he would be the kind of nature guy, pretty well established.
David Attenborough.
Yeah, essentially, except he totally believed in the Loch Ness Monster. And it's a bit like David Attenborough saying, being Attenborough, but then saying, I categorically believe in Bigfoot.
Okay.
And that just being a thing that we have to accept. So stuff like that is really weird, where you find out specific moments in history where what's really nice about these characters is that they just really want to believe, and it's kind of a show about whether you choose to believe or not, in a silly sort of way.
Mm.
So stuff like that's really nice.
Are you worried that people are going to maybe not get the subtlety that it's all characters believe and be like, well, did you know?
Well, lots of it's very subtle, but then there's lots of big dick jokes as well.
Okay.
So
okay.
You know, it spans all... It crosses the whole thing.
The biggest Great British Mystery of all, isn't it?
That's
indeed.
Do they exist? Anyway, where can people see this if they want to?
We're going to be on from the 2nd to the 28th of August up at the Pleasance Courtyard in the cellar.
Ooh, that sounds very like theatrical and,
yeah.
and Shakespearean, the Pleasance Courtyard.
Yeah, exactly.
Lovely. And people can... Is it a ticketed event so people can find tickets?
Yeah, they're all online. Yeah, on the Pleasance website or on the Ed Fringe website. Yeah,
super exciting. So just to recap, we're talking about the Great British Mysteries going up to Edinburgh Fringe this year at the Pleasance
courtyard.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I forgot it already. Oh no. Oh no. Don't ask me, ask the website. That's what it's there for. And have you got plans to take it if people can't go all the way up to Edinburgh?
We're doing our last preview in London on the 26th, which is at Leicester Square Theatre.
Oh, perfect.
So that's 2 days before we kind of get the train up, so hopefully it's pretty close by then.
Yeah. Preview. Is that like a super super dress rehearsal?
It's a dress rehearsal where some of it's always a bit new and maybe you'll never see it ever again.
Mm-hmm.
So I always try and think that if you're in an audience, I mean everyone who's going up to Edinburgh previews across the summer, and sometimes they are literally people stood on the stage with the script reading bits out. But the joy is if you pay a fiver, you may see something that will never be performed ever again.
Yeah.
Probably for good reason. But equally, it might be a really kind of unique little happening that like you're in a room with 30 people and Daniel Kitson, and then that will just disappear into nothingness.
I actually think that there's going to be a movement, because there is a huge technology movement about like recording the moment on your phone, having everything recorded, what you eat, what you do, what you whatever. I think there's going to be like a backlash of that over the next few years, and there's going to be like events where people go just to be like in the moment events where no technology is allowed, no selfies, no whatever. And that's what I think the one thing that live theatre still has, because you can't really be like texting and tweeting away and being really engrossed in a live performance.
So, yeah, absolutely.
You're bang on.
I think
bit like fashion, it's all going to go full circle.
Sure is, and I think there even is. I've heard about some gig venues who are actually trying to desperately stop the phone going out. I'm just gesturing
Kate
my
Bush
phone.
Did
everybody,
it, didn't
the
Kate Bush had like a no phone. I think you had to like give your phones in at the beginning.
Oh my gosh, that what mental that would. Can you imagine being in charge of the phones? But I had an iPhone 7.
It's an iPhone.
Kate Bush has got it now.
Yeah, she's lots of money making schemes. She was selling off the back of the thing. But yeah, I think that's one of the things that I love, and I think that is why theatre is just forever ever going to be a thing, because capturing it, it's in the moment, and like you said, each performance is different, so you can go and see it on a Monday and see the same show on a Friday. You're gonna have little, with that in mind, has anything ever gone wrong? Because I love asking live, everything live, that's the juicy bit.
There's lots of projections in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the timing of them is often not quite right, and there's a bit where Queen Elizabeth I, there's a sort of minute scene where over the scene, eventually the joke, the whole punchline is that she turns into Noel Edmonds. And the projection slowly, there's this huge noise that goes like bum 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 bum, and the light goes into very dark red, and Olive and Teddy do a really prolonged turn round and look at it and then turn back at the audience like, what just happened? And the idea is that is Noel Edmonds somehow like a Blackadder character who's been propping up all these characters in history. And twice in two of the last gigs, the Noel Edmonds face has been revealed instantly.
Oh.
And the audience doesn't really understand what they're seeing.
This is Noel.
But they just get an instant picture of Noel Edmonds with this kind of Jacobean ruff on. And without explanation. And Rose and Will have to try and address that whilst delivering a minute's worth of dialogue that leads to a point that the audience has already seen.
Oh god,
it's not ideal.
Trying to like backtrack that around.
Yeah.
Have you? How are you remembering lines? Because that's one thing that always plagued me.
Yes.
Live line remembering.
I'm a bit dangerously variable on it. Once I know it super super well, absolutely fine, but then actually I get to a point where I know it so well that I start thinking, maybe I will have some sausages tonight. Yeah, I think I will. Oh my god.
I just said sausages online.
Yeah.
It's the moment you start thinking about what you've got to say and you lose it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it comes so naturally.
Yeah, yeah.
Were there any mysteries that you discovered that you wanted to get in the show that didn't make it in?
We did want to get the Beast of Bodmin in.
Yeah.
The main reason for that was because it was all in order to get Will, who has short blonde hair, into a long blonde mullet wig.
And Will wrote a line which was Dartmoor, more, more. How do you like it? We really wanted to get that in, and unfortunately, that's not made it.
Not made the cut.
We're going to try and find a way.
I think you should. I like that line.
Well, all the best of luck with the Great British Mysteries. If you just joined us, that's what we're chatting about. The Great British Mysteries is a new show, half TED Talk, half mockumentary. Instantly, I'm like, oh, what is that? I want to see that. I love a TED Talk. Love a TED Talk. And I love a mockumentary. So this sounds amazing.
There you go.
I also love the Loch Ness Monster. So if you're into all of that and you happen to be hanging around Edinburgh with a spare £10, go see this show. So thank you so much, guys,
for
coming down.
Thank you for having us.
I play lots of songs that are linked to movies or series that I'm like enjoying at the moment. So I'm going to go for... this was from Baby Driver. I keep going on and on. You cannot shut me up about this film. It's so good. The soundtrack is amazing. And there was they had the original version of the song Tequila. And this is the remix called Tequila. So let's see. Oh my God. I think you're a bit nervous about what this is going to be. We're going to play it. We're going to do it. Here it is. It's Back Row Chill.
Presents Ian Boltsworth. I just want to check the lyrics for CPR. What's CPR stand for? Cum, penis.
Well, read it to us now.
Yo, dick brick hard like a medal. It's got three holes for it like a pretzel. I got three holes for it like a pretzel.
Yep. Mm. Yep.
Tight as a virgin boy. Don't get me nervous. Mm. Tight. I'm here to serve you customer service, right?
Right.
I save dick by giving it CPR.
Please don't do that. Like, please don't blow into it.
Put my mouth on it like CPR.
But CPR is blowing.
Every Monday.
Ian Boldsworth.
From 2 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. It's Backrow and Chill with Johanna James and
Chris Keegan.
And we've got our third and final guest of the show.
Who is it, babe? It's me!
Who is Joob Joob? For anyone who doesn't know. Introduce yourself.
You're supposed to intro me. I'm your guest, Johanna. What is this? Come on.
Joob Joob. Well, if I do, it's a bit weird. Okay. You are a international online superstar.
Oh, come on, you can do better than that. All right, let me have a go. Introducing the sexiest, chubbiest man on planet Earth. I just spat all over the microphone. I'm so sorry. All right, I had to cut the music. Hi, guys. My name's Joob Joob. I make silly videos on the internet, and I'm going out with the gorgeous Johanna James.
Hey guys, finally got my boyfriend on the show. Welcome.
What's going on?
Bringing home to work and work to home.
I feel like a third wheel here.
Is he needed?
I'll just leave you guys.
This really awkward moment just happened in the green room where Joob handed his cup of coffee to Chris, not realising he's the co-host and not one of the minions.
Thanks
here.
For making me look bad. Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks, Joob. Thank you very much. Thanks for that.
I'm so sorry. I'm going to kiss you after the show, I promise.
It was hilarious.
I will accept that kiss.
Welcome to FUBAR Radio. For anyone who's like, what do you do online?
All right, so basically what I do is I make relatable funny videos and take over the internet. We've had around 1 billion views in the last year. My Facebook page is currently on 1.5 million. We've had sketches that have gone over 100 million views.
He's so modest.
Well, you asked me for the facts and I'm merely presenting numbers. The numbers do not lie. We're doing really well at the moment. We went from absolute nobodies to quite literally taking over the internet for half a year, which I'm really, really proud about.
Mm-hmm. And where can people see your stuff? Where should they?
Literally just tap on Facebook and one of my videos should pop up. No, I'm joking. it's at Joob Joob. So if you just type in G-O-U-B, the first thing that should pop up is me. So Joob Joob. Just
Joob Joob.
Yeah, check it out. Got some cool vids.
Where did the name come from and why the name? Because that's...
I was looking for a name for ages. My original name was Jubran BFG because at school people called me BFG and I wasn't quite aware of what the acronym stood for. Turns out...
Wait, guess. What did it stand for?
The only thing I can think of is Big Friendly Giant.
Yeah, turns out it was Big Fat Jubran.
Oh, man, okay.
Yeah. So people in the playground would be like, BFG, BFG. And I was dancing along thinking it meant Big Friendly Giant. Yeah, turns out I was being bullied.
Shade.
But then my friend was like, Jubran BFG, reading that as a username is Jubran Buffug. So what is this actual word?
Bug.
And then he was like, why don't you, I don't know, what you're doing YouTube? Yeah, I was like, nah, Facebook. He's like, why don't you say Joob Joob? I was like, like, literally, birds flew. It got hot in the room. It was just glowing.
A beam of light from the sky.
Yeah, quiet. I was like, Joob Joob? Oh, my God, that's my legacy.
But people never say it like that, do they?
No, they call me Goob.
Both of us
Goob
have
Goob Tube.
Yeah. Look,
there's no J in the English language. It's G or J. Mm. So there's no J. So they're just like, Goob. Oi, Goob. Propagates. It's like, oh, Goob, I love your videos. I'm like, yeah, it's Joob.
It's Joob. We have the same thing. No one can say my name right either.
You're Johanna.
It's
not very hard though, is it? And
honestly, you wouldn't be surprised.
It's Hannah with a J at the front.
Yeah, Johanna.
I think when we first met, I called you Johanna for quite a while.
Yeah, but that is because that's my original name.
Really?
Yeah, that'd be why I introduced myself as Johanna.
This is a revelation to me.
Yeah, my name was Johanna, but then because of a mix up with equities, like the Equities Union, they wouldn't let me have my own name, so I thought I'd be like really
those
funny.
Fucking monsters.
I know.
Oh, can I swear?
You can swear. Yeah.
Those fucking monsters.
I know, right? And so I said, right, if I spell it with an A, can I keep my name? And they were like, go on then, fine. But now everyone thinks I'm Swedish, or they're like, Johanna?
Johanna?
Thanks for stealing my thunder on my name story, but yeah. Let's talk about Johanna on the Johanna show.
Well, it is the Johanna show.
Yeah, I forgot about that, sorry.
Cheers, babe. So what are you working on at the moment? Or
trying to drink this coffee, but I didn't realise they put the sun in my mug. All right, so currently I'm not going as viral as I used to because
what it was at first was I was just trying to get famous, and we kind of got the Facebook fame now, and now it's all about making money, because I was window cleaning whilst I was making my videos, so I had people Snapchatting me through their window like, "Hi, GoobTube, you're cleaning my windows," and at the same time I'm like, well, this doesn't really the image doesn't fit, and that's not me trying to be like egotistical or think I'm above a particular job, but there's a narrative that I'm trying to portray, and that's that I make funny videos online, and I'm at the same time doing people's gutters and stuff. It just didn't work.
I think it's great you're a gutter cleaner.
Yeah, well, I wasn't making enough money, but
now... It was like a weird version of sort of Superman, your Clark Kent and your Jube. You got all sparkly...
Jube in the evening.
Pressure wash by day.
Exactly. Yeah. And you could just sort of rip open your shirt and slap your belly. There you go.
But it was fun at first, but it's like, I need to start making some real money. And now we started pulling in some serious cash, so it's just like, we don't need to... focus on going viral anymore. So now I'm trying to like find a balance and make money as well as create my legacy and make good content as opposed to just adverts.
So what's it about? Is it about building a brand? I guess that sort of has to be the prime thing. You build a brand to work around. You've got, you know, YouTube people like David Dobrik and Philip DeFranco who have t-shirt businesses on the side. Is that what it's about from here on?
Well, it depends what kind of community you have as a fan base. I mean, for some people that may be it, but for me it's more like I get more love out of people saying hello to me in my hometown. I'm a hero in my hometown. Can you believe it? Of silly videos. It's more the legacy as opposed to... Okay, yeah, the money is nice, but being loved for what you do as opposed to just making money and being hated, as some social media people are. I feel like if you're loved for something you do that you love, that's you being rich already without even needing money.
That's the whole point of like a Tony or an Oscar or whatever. It's just appreciation.
Yeah.
Look, if I can pay my bills and make people laugh, fuck the money. It's cool. I'm good to go. But yeah, legacy is key. I don't want to be hated. I want to be loved. That's it.
Yeah, it's quite hard on the internet because there's sort of like two lanes you can go down. And one is sort of pranks and public menace, which are very, very, very watchable. I do click on them sometimes. And then you've got the sort of slightly harder way, which is sketches.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot, you've got to think characters, you've got narrative, you've got actual punchline and jokes. It's quite hard to keep everyone's attention. In a world where, like, cats falling over and people getting pied in public is, like, the way.
Nothing frustrates me more than sitting down for a good 24 hours writing out ideas, subplots, clever twists on reality. What kind of engagement are we going to get? What conversation is going to happen in the comments? And really be in depth. And then someone falls down the stairs and it's fake and they get 40 million fucking views. Yeah. Just like, you dumb idiots.
Do you guys follow much of the stuff coming out of LA? Have you sort of looked at David Dobrik, for example? He reinvented vlogging a little bit.
We try to dabble, but we found our lane. And it's nice to try and cross-convert following and all of that stuff, but it's just not our lane. It's like saying to a tennis player, oh, what, have you tried a little bit of squash? It's just like, it's kind of the same, but it's really not, and I don't feel comfortable.
That's fascinating.
I can make a video and get more views than a movie would in a weekend.
That's crazy.
I can meet up with my friends, film a vid, get it edited, and we get more exposure than a film does. And we do it with £200, as opposed to £1 million budget.
It's astounding how that can happen. It really is.
Ridiculous. The power of social media is insane.
David, what was he called, you just said?
David Dobrik.
I think I've heard of him.
Is he like Gary Vee?
He's going out with Liza
Koshy, yeah. He started off as sort of a daily vlogger, but he realised that actually vlogging his daily life was kind of boring. He started deliberately and actively scripting his vlogs.
It's fake vlogs.
Fake vlogs.
We were going to do that, but it's fucking hard work.
Yeah, and he does it every day. Does it five days a week.
It's obvious I'm sweating right now.
Oh, yeah, I've seen David.
And he's one of the most well sort of recognised YouTubers at the moment.
You're right, darling. We like to take
you can see the sweat patches through my jumper. What is this?
It's a lot of pressure.
It's the curse of being chubby. It's not the pressure. Oh, I'm taking my hoodie off. That's it.
Strip. Okay, just me. Okay.
No, I'm on board. I'm on board. Don't worry.
I've thought about that. I mean, that's what I like about the internet is like it has opened the floodgates.
Yeah.
Anyone has a chance.
Absolutely.
Not saying that everyone can do it because not everyone's like watchable, but anyone has a chance if you put them effort in and proper grind at it.
No, don't sell them a false dream.
It's true.
You've got to give them context though. It's not that easy.
No.
You need is, okay, what you're saying is anyone can go viral, which is true, but what you need to know is not only do you need content that moves, you need a distribution platform. So, i.e., you've got your app, So Facebook, Snapchat, Musical.ly, wherever it is that you want to go big. But on top of that, you need distribution. So you need a share circle. On Facebook, when we drop a video, it's not like we drop a vid and ta-da, 88 million views. That never happens. That is incredibly rare. What you need is big pages to share your stuff for you. But as well as that, even if you've got a share circle, if the content don't move, you're flogging a dead horse.
There's a lot of technical business that people don't realise about the internet.
I was going to interrupt. I'm just really excited to be on radio. Listen, guys, if you want to go viral, I'm about to break it down for you right now. Get a pen and paper because this is fucking real.
Hang on.
You're about to change your life.
Yeah. Okay. I've got a pen.
What you need for a video to go viral. Relatability. Likeability, shareability. What conversation is going to happen in the comments section? So, for example, boyfriend girlfriend pranks. When people make those pranks, they're expecting people to go, ha ha ha, this is amazing. What actually happens is people go, this is fake. And then obviously people jump in like, no, it's real. And then that's a part of the conversation. That's an extra 10% engagement. And on top of that, people go, I wouldn't treat my girlfriend like that. I wouldn't treat my boyfriend like that. So it wasn't the intended conversation that you expected, but that's what's carrying the video over and tipping it over the 20 mil mark. So that's just the conversation in the comments. Now, you also got to think about your trailer, i.e. your thumbnail and your caption. How are you going to capture the attention of the audience? You've got 3 seconds as soon as that video drops to keep maintain that attention. See what I'm saying? So there is a way to do it, but there's a formula there and you need to get it right.
Someone's had coffee.
It's fascinating.
I haven't got much time and I want to get all of the information out now because anyone can do it. Guys, I'm not joking. Listen, if you take some of those tips and you just work on it for a few weeks... 2 likes, 5 likes, 10 likes a week. Before you know it, that starts to snowball. And out of nowhere, you go from 800 likes to 1.5 million likes. Everywhere you go, people are like, yo, Jube, what's going on? Trying to slap my belly.
Well, not if they're called Jube, but...
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? It is possible. You can chase your dreams. I was cleaning windows. Not that it's not... a worthy profession to go down, but it was just something I wasn't good at. It was something that I would wake up and hate doing. Chase your dreams, and I promise you, if you keep trying every single day, there will be a breakthrough eventually, or it may lead you down a different path.
Inspiration. Boom. From YouTube.
Inspiration
right there.
YouTube.
I feel like smashing some shit. Can I drop the mic?
No, it's very expensive. No. Do not hit the mic.
Sorry.
Cannot take him anywhere. Right, we're going to go back to a little bit more music, and then we're going to go into some film reviews, because I think all of us have seen a lot of stuff this week that we want to have a little chat about. Okay, so I think I'm going to go on a bit of Tom Jones. Let's do a bit of Tom Jones.
Yay. I'm a Tom Jones fan. Absolutely. Fantastic.
That was brilliant.
This is also from Baby. No, it's not from Baby Driver. It's from Glow on Netflix. Loving this. This is about Rowan Chill.
Well, she's all you'd ever want. She's the kind I'd like to flaunt and take to dinner. But she always knows her place. She's got style, she's got grace. She's a winner. She's a lady. She's
James on FUBAR Radio.
We're back. It's the last part of the show.
What was that noise?
That was just the FUBAR sexuals noise.
Yeah, that's in... Stop doing that. Your boyfriend's it.
Behave. Right, it's Johanna James co-hosting with...
Chris Keegan.
Today. It's the last half of the show. Normally, Lucy Patterson comes in and does some film reviews, but she's broken a toe or a foot or something. She's broken something. Get better soon, Lucy. So, as her replacement, I've invited down Kevin Kruller. Welcome.
Hello there, guys. How are you doing?
He is a huge film buff, and we often talk about film, and I was like, you know what? I need to get you on my show, because we can definitely talk. And Jube Jube is still here sweating.
Where's the fucking chicken?
That's his tagline.
Oh, I've dreamt about hearing that in real life.
I'm going to get that on my gravestone.
I'll put it on there, babe. Don't worry.
Thank you.
What are you insinuating? I'm going to die first?
Yeah, you smoke more than me. And eat more than me.
How about you reveal to your listeners how much more of an unhealthy lifestyle I have? Thanks, Joanna.
No. Wait. She just got vegetarian. So
I've just gone vegetarian.
Have you explained to them why you're vegetarian now?
Yeah, I think I did it in last week's show. I watched a film on Netflix called Okja, O-K-J-A, and it's about this fictional super pig and it growing up with this daughter of a farmer, and when it comes to be slaughtered, she can't let it go, and she chases it to New York and she saves the pig, and it parallels what actually goes on in slaughterhouses and abattoirs. And as soon as I watched the film, we cried.
Sharp jam.
I tell you about telling people about that stuff.
A tear was shed. Yeah. And I decided afterwards I just didn't feel right eating meat. I was like, you know what, I just don't want to eat stuff with a
which
face.
Which is brilliant for me, because then she walks in with hummus and carrots. I'm 100 kg. Hummus and carrots doesn't feed me, Johanna!
And a bit of falafel. All right. So, Kevin, welcome. This is the part of the show where we do film reviews. We talk about what we've seen, what we think's shit, what we think's not. Everyone can go around and we can just discuss what we've seen. And I've got a little quiz for you guys as well.
Yeah. Oh, well, sounds good to me.
It's wild in here, isn't it?
We're getting crazy.
We're going right crazy. So, Kevin, do you want to start? What have you seen this week?
Well, why not? I'm a lone movie ranger, was actually mean. That one, I'm going alone to the movies because I really hate when people just talking to my ears like, oh, do you know what's going to happen right now? And I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to figure out. I watch a movie.
Do you like going alone? That's fine. I go to cinema alone.
It was a fun time. Last time I went to the new Spider-Man Homecoming movie. Oh. And it was amazing. And I'm sitting on a VIP chair right in the middle when one guy by himself walk in, sit right next to me. And I'm like, my man, I know what you feel.
So what did you think about Spider-Man Homecoming?
Well, if we go into the comic version, or we go into like a Marvel Cinematic Universe version, what they just built up, for the Cinematic Universe, that's good. For the comic version, let's not really go into that. I know in the Rotten Tomatoes, they went to 94%.
Yeah, that's mad.
94% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It went far, but I liked it. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed every single moment of the movie. But it wasn't what I expected. Peter Parker, that's not as the Peter Parker as
really?
In the comic. The okay. Spider-Man, yes, the Spider-Man has this funny arrogance, what he has in the comic as well. The Peter Parker is very childish in the movies. Well, I know we can relate, you know, the new vibe was coming up as well. But they changed a lot. They changed the characters. They changed the character appearance as well. Well, yeah. You know.
They did. My favourite Spider-Man was the one that when I was a teenager, which was the Tobey Maguire.
Yes.
And yeah. Kirsten Dunst, because I was a big fan of them. And so when I think of Spider-Man, I kind of think of that. But you have to just put that away when you're watching Homecoming, because it is a different universe. It's a different version. And they played around with the ethnicities of a lot of the characters, which some people are like, don't think you should touch that. Mary Jane should be a ginger and whatever.
Well, the talk recently is that she's not even Mary Jane. It was just a tip of the hat.
Well,
to Mary Jane from the comics, apparently.
So I would suppose it was Mary Jane.
That's what I thought as well. But yeah, apparently in an interview afterwards, it was just a nod, just a tip of the hat.
Oh, it was just a nod. She wasn't trying to be Mary Jane.
But are they just saying that, you know, it's the Marvel Cinematic Universe? They could say anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Jube's like, I haven't seen this film, so I do not have a lot to say.
I'm not going to lie. I was actually thinking about chicken. well distracted. My bad.
Do you think about chicken more that now I'm a veggie? It's like a pressure. Do you feel like you have to compensate for my lack of eating meat?
No, because I really don't care whether you eat it or not. I will eat chicken.
Okay. Well, Spider-Man, I really liked it. And it was the first time that they had an actual teenager playing a teenager. So before it was like Spider-Man, who's actually 28, still in high school with his 29-year-old girlfriend. So I liked the fact that he was actually a kid.
For the movie in this part, that's fine. But we can't forget that in the comic, he's not only a teenager Spider-Man. Peter Parker actually acting as an adult as well in some of the comic part. And mm-hmm. that's when the first Spider-Man movie came out, that Tobey Maguire, he nailed it. The Spider-Man wasn't good, but Peter Parker, as an adult Peter Parker, he was great. Yeah. He was amazing. Mm.
I think overall it was really, really good, and I would definitely recommend going and see it. That's a yep.
Indeed.
I think Michael Keaton just nailed it.
Amazing, isn't he?
Okay, but he's a great actor.
He's a fantastic actor.
Yeah, so overall that gets
yep.
a yep.
Cool. Yep. Okay, where's that button?
I didn't see that coming, right?
Jubran, do you want some chicken?
Yep.
Cheese! All right, sorry.
Ask me.
Okay, what did you go and see, darling?
Okay, so what I went and watched was was an pornographic parody of a war film called Shaving Ryan's Privates. So, as opposed to... No, I'm joking. That was an awful joke that bombed. So, what I went and watched...
I got excited. Come on.
Using Stormzy to pie your boyfriend live. Okay. Cool, I remember that. Me and Johanna went and watched Planet of the Apes. Odeon gave us our own cinema screen to watch Planet of the Apes, which is pretty damn cool. I don't know if you guys have seen the last one. Have you seen it?
The Dawn. Well,
brilliant.
Dawn. Which last one are we talking about?
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, right.
Brilliant film. I was just like, how are they going to top this? And they nearly did with this one, which is War for the Planet of the Apes. I thought that it was very well thought out. The action was incredible. It was very emotive. The way they made... you could understand the emotions coming from the chimps. And that's when you really... You see... When people say that we come from monkeys, obviously we don't, but you can see so many like physicalities and the idiosyncrasies and facial expressions, and you know, you become an ape in yourself. I'm not even joking, it brings it out of you.
Yeah, yeah.
You become an ape yourself and you really feel for them. And just like with Okja, how it made you feel like, I don't want to eat meat anymore, we left the cinema like after watching something really profound, and it echoed, I don't want to like ruin it for people, but there were scenes in the film that echoed the Holocaust. When the monkeys are trapped in prison, and there were other like racial
slavery.
Yeah. There's like undertones of like slavery and stuff like that, and it was very, very powerful and emotive. And I love the way they did it. But the action scenes were incredible. But it's not a massive but you know, it's 2 hours 20 minutes. That's pretty damn long, so I felt like my attention span was just like...
I got lost in it. I absolutely adored it. I thought it was amazing. The CGI is stunning.
It's possibly the best CGI I've ever seen.
I mean, even if you think about Spider-Man Homecoming, there are even a couple of moments where you're like, CGI Spider-Man right there. Yeah. I never once was thrown out of the story. And it's not a 2-hour epic action movie. There are these wonderful moments of stillness and dialogue and Woody Harrelson just, again... Amazing.
As usual.
Yeah, as usual.
He's one of the greatest actors I saw in Skeen.
Started out as a weird little guy on Cheers and now incredible actor.
Yeah, I loved it. So it was like, I couldn't really fault the movie. It was really brilliant. If you have the 2 hours and a half or whatever it takes to go and see it, definitely.
It was a great movie indeed. Like, I don't doubt that. But when I was asking, like, which are we talking about? I don't know how many people saw the back, like, the old version.
The original.
The originals.
Dr. Zayas.
1968, and started the first movie. And it was a remake as well. But, you know, it's going to sound interesting. At 2001, they made a remake, and it was... I liked it. It was a huge failure, but I liked it. And I was so angry, like, they end the movie with, like, a huge open, and I'm never going to know what's happened. That was so annoying.
Guys,
annoying.
I happened to find War for the Planet of the Apes, 9 interesting facts about the franchise that you didn't know.
Ooh, all right.
Okay, so let's go for... So it was back in the 1960s, a makeup test was the turning point point in the 20th Century Fox, because the makeup for the original movie was at the time phenomenal.
A breakthrough, yeah.
It was real actors being put with like prosthetics that looked like monkeys. So Planet of the Apes actors Charlton Heston and Edward G. Robinson appeared in the makeup screen tests with James Brolin and Linda Harrison. And at the time, the screen test reportedly cost £5,000 to shoot. But this helped the former vice president to dish out $5 million for the film. Okay, so they had to put in $5,000 to do a screen test to convince the producers.
And then they got the budget for it.
And they got $5 million back out.
You'd think Charlton Heston could have put up the $5 million himself. He was rich back then, I think.
The makeup for the original movie cost around $500,000.
Sounds how much. That's how much Johanna spends a week on her makeup.
Oh, cheers, babe. Cheers, but it's worth it. But the budget was reported $1 million. Ooh, okay. So, yeah, that's a lot of money on makeup.
That's a lot of moolah.
I wonder if what makeup brand actually did the makeup of the... Has anyone ever been to Comic-Con and they've seen the guys who actually... put on the prosthetic and they in the flesh, it's the most bizarre thing. I turned around and they had the most amazing.
It's ridiculous. I did a little promo event for Resident Evil a couple of weeks back and I got turned into a zombie and I just had my face covered in prosthetics for it. It was a pain in the backside, but it was great fun.
Ooh. Can you move your face?
I could, but like the more I move my face, the more it disconnected from my skin.
All right.
But you could be a great zombie then, just get like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Not bad, Kev, not bad.
While shooting the 1960s movie, the cast discovered something unusual would happen at lunchtime on set. While the actors were still in their costumes, and they ranged from chimpanzees, orangutans, gorillas, and humans, they found themselves segregating according to species.
Shut the front door!
So the actors and the producers were confused, but everyone just seemed to segregate.
Is that true?
Apparently so.
Racism. I think I've heard that
before.
Oh,
he's already started. Yeah.
Racism amongst apes.
And to conclude, the producer of the new film saying that the movie is complete, because we were at the end, we were like, oh, is there going to be another one? Mm. Is this the end? Because it feels like there's kind of an end to a story here. They say it is not the end. It is the complete movie cycle of this section of the movies, but there is scope for many more stories.
So get in.
They've left space. However, one thing they are not going to do is they are never going to remake the original. So they're never going to go back and touch
I'm
the
kind
original.
Of on board with
I'm
that.
I'm
not happy with that.
Why? Are you guys purists?
Don't ruin an original movie like that.
Yeah, you're right, though. Part two's never seemed to do well.
I'm not a purist, but, you know, get your damn hands off me, you dirty ape. You can't beat that, you know?
That wasn't bad.
Thank you.
Right, so we're going to come back with a couple more of these Planet of the Ape titbits in a moment. I'm just going to go quickly to...
She said tit.
Oh. We can swear on the show, Kevin, it's fine. But thanks anyway.
Alrighty then.
We're just going to go from a little bit more from the soundtrack of How Not to Be Single, and we'll be right back on Background Show. Give it to me, I'm worth it.
Bring it back like she loves some. Bring it back like she loves some. In the club with the lights off. But you act a shy fog. Come and show me that you're with it, with it, with it, with it, with it. Stop playing now, you know that I'm with it, with it, with it, with it, with it, with it. What you acting shy for?
Just give me you, just give me you. Just give me you. That's all I wanna do. And if what they say is true, if it's true, I'ma give it to you. I may take a lot of stuff, guaranteed, I can back it up. I think I'ma call you bluff, hurry up, I'm waiting out front. You see me in the spotlight, ooh, whatever your style. Show me what you got, cause I don't wanna waste my time. It's all on you, so what you wanna do? And if you don't have a clue, not a clue, I'll tell you what to do. Come harder just because I don't like it too soft. I like
not too much, but maybe just enough.
Into land now on Back Row and Chill. I have prepared a little movie quiz since we're all like well into film. So how it's going to run down, I'm going to play you a couple seconds of a soundtrack from a movie. Think of a buzzer, and if you know, if you think you know what it is, just like shout your buzzer out and we'll just see how this
Wait,
goes.
Shouldn't we? What was the buzzer? Yeah. Like buzz.
Yeah, that could, so that's your one, that's Kevin's.
What's yours? Do
it. Buzz.
I don't know. Fubar. There we go.
On brand. Oh, you can't do yours because you're doing the.
Yeah.
All right, mine's going to be like, where's the fucking chicken?
If you would like to, yes, that'll be your.
Am I peaking the mic when I scream like that?
Yeah.
Fantastic. They're saying no, you're saying yeah.
You're spitting the mic.
Okay, right, we're going to give it a go. And technology.
Okay.
Let's have a look.
I'm so excited.
Okay. All right, the first one is this.
Fubar! Where's the fucking chicken? Oh, damn it.
The Godfather.
It is indeed The Godfather. Well done, Chris.
Thank you.
We don't have the technology.
Oh, Jube's eyeing me.
Prick.
So we're just going to enjoy each one to the end. Okay, number two.
Where's the fucking chicken? Independence Day!
No!
Fubar! 2001 Space Odyssey.
Yes, it is!
Oh, come on!
Wow, I'm just sitting in here.
Come on, Kevin.
I know, right?
Armageddon, or what did I say? Independence Day.
Number three.
Fubar! Back to the Future!
Of course, Chris.
All right, can we ban him from playing?
Oh.
Chris is taking the piss. He's going to obviously see the answers.
You haven't even seen the movie.
I promise I'm not looking.
I haven't seen the movie, to be
what?
Fair.
What?
I know. Number four.
Oh, where's the fucking chicken? Austin Powers!
Yes!
Yeah. I nearly shouted Austin Powers. I slapped the table. All right, okay.
Which one of our viral videos did that feature in? I'm joking. Okay.
I have no idea. Where's the fucking chicken? Beverly Hill Cops!
It is.
Oh my god, I'm on fire!
Wow.
Ow! Come on, Kevin.
I know, right? I'm sitting here.
I didn't
even hear
though.
The song yet.
Okay, you can get the next one, Kevin. Number six.
Fucking chicken!
Oh, that was all of you. Go on.
Kevin, let Kevin have
yeah,
it.
Kevin.
Shining.
No! Oh my god! American Psycho!
No.
Psycho!
Yes!
What's the difference?
American Psycho, Christian Bale.
I'm about to shit on this chair right now.
Wow, okay.
I should get half a point for that.
I said a completely wrong one. Come on, man. I'm even shitting myself in here.
Okay, here we go.
Where's the fucking chicken?
Yeah.
A Perfect World? I have no idea.
This is so familiar.
Where's the fucking chicken?
Forrest Gump.
Okay.
Oh,
I was going to say Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Boom up! Oh.
Lion King!
Yes!
Yes! Over the I thought that was Jungle Book. I would have fucked it up.
We should have gone Facebook Live for this. Right.
Fubar! Mission Impossible!
Oh wow!
I was going to say James Bond.
I was going to say James Bond too.
Number 10. It's coming up soon. Okay, number 10.
Fubar! Indiana Jones.
Oh my god, he's so good! Can we hear the song?
That's quick!
You're peeking the mic, babe.
I am peeking the mic, am I? A little bit. Fuck okay. It. Get used to it, it's Joom Tube in the house. Oh, this is what I do, I scream. Oh, where's the fucking chicken, Jules?
So should have
got
that
one.
Oh
my god.
Well, hold on a second. Oh, now I understand. The headphone wasn't even on.
Number 12.
Fubar! Friday the 13th.
No.
No.
Oh, where's the fucking chicken? Nightmare on Elm Street.
No.
Shit!
Fubar, Halloween!
Yes.
Oh,
damn it!
It's like tennis! That was brilliant!
Fubar, Superman!
You need to go on TV.
Like, I really
you have a talent, my friend.
Yep. Me and you should have gone head to head on this.
All right, we're not doing that bad. Where's the fucking chicken? Tarzan?
Fubar! Pirates of the Caribbean!
Tarzan!
Oh, shut up!
Okay, number 15.
Ooh. Where's the fucking chicken? Pink Panther!
Well done.
Oh, wow. That was good.
It's that jingle.
I didn't even know you knew what that was.
Oh, baby, I'm on fire! And it's not even syphilis this time.
Now I'm sweating, for God's sake.
Number 16.
Fubar, James Bond.
Oh, you.
Poor Kevin.
I know, right? I'm sitting in here.
Should we give a Lone Ranger. Should we know.
Kevin, we're going to give you a chance for this one.
Okay, yeah. Kevin, you...
Oh, Buzz! Lord of the Rings, yeah! Come on!
Okay, oh, we're coming into close. Number 18.
What's the fucking chicken? The good, bad, the ugly.
You like your cowboy films, don't
you? Ow! Second best cowboy film after Django. I said it.
Django's great.
They use Rick Ross in a cowboy film. That is just... You've got balls, Quentin
Number
Tarantino.
Number 19.
Where's the fucking chicken? Oh, Rocky!
Yes. Oh, you little slag.
Right, number 20.
Fubar Jurassic Park.
Wow.
Thank you.
A Wimbledon applause there.
I got 2 points.
I think you got one, Kevin.
Wait for the chicken!
Who?
Star Wars! I think we all got that.
I do know a friend whose guy asked to go down the aisle to that. She was like, no.
Fubar, Chariot of Fire.
Yes.
Sorry, Jim.
I hate losing.
Slow-mo.
I hate losing.
I lost a long time ago.
Number
23. Oh, my chickens! Phantom of the Opera?
Yes.
Oh my god! That was a guess! I swear I had an organ. I was like, fuck it.
Bam, bam, I was buzzing.
Where's the fucking chicken, Harry Potter?
Oh, you're getting close now.
Where's the fucking chicken, Harry Potter?
Yeah.
That's the prequel. Right.
Where's the fucking chicken, Harry Potter? It's a legitimate question.
Number 25.
Oh, shit. Fubar Transformers?
Nope.
All right, you're not allowed to answer now. Kevin, have you got anything? I'm fucked. I don't know.
Wait. Can we continue the song for a second?
No.
What was it?
It was Terminator.
Oh my god.
Shit.
Okay,
and
should've the final that. One for 1,000 points.
Jeez.
Wow.
Let's go for it.
Where's the fucking chicken? Shaving Ryan's privates.
No.
Okay.
Anything? Can you guess? Can you guess, Kevin?
Come on, mate. You need this.
Come on.
It's so familiar. Shoot! Come on, guys.
Come on, guys.
All right. Can we do one more time? The soundtrack.
No. I can't.
All right.
Forward it.
I don't know. Avengers.
Yes.
Oh my god.
What?
Yes.
For 1,000 points, Kevin's the winner.
Slow down. He can't answer one thing right and then become the winner, Jana.
It's my game's my rule, my show.
Okay, so you're Stalin. Fantastic.
Wait. That was the third.
Did you tally up who got
so
who?
So 1,002 points.
Obviously Chris won.
It was very, very close.
But he could look over your shoulder and see the answer.
Kevin won with 1,000 points.
This is not good.
No,
Stewart's inquiry.
He genuinely did.
I'm quite proud of myself.
I know. I wasn't. You surprised me.
I know, you're looking at me different, babe.
I know. Why are you turning me on?
I don't know. I feel so terrible.
Well, anyway, thank you guys so much for coming on the show. And Chris, thank you for being an amazing co-host.
Oh, what, so are, we, for are we done?
We are coming into land now.
So
yeah.
do we invoice you or do we invoice FUBAR? I'm £1,000 per
minute. I thought this cash in hand.
We could do cash in hand. The tax man doesn't need to
actually
know.
That works for me as well.
Okay, fine. We'll sort it after the show, guys. Be professional. Oh my gosh, as always, we kind of end up running out of time. We've got so much, but don't worry, we'll be back next week on Friday, which I think me and you are going to be riding the whole show.
Oh, what, they're allowing me to come back?
Yeah.
Wow. Those fucking idiots.
Brave.
So tune in next week, 4 p.m. till 6 p.m. and tell all your friends and, you know, make sure that your nan chews in. Maybe not your nan. Someone a bit younger than that. And what was that? Producers.
Great, thank you guys.
Never mind. And okay, I'm gonna go for my last song, which is from, oh my gosh, I've forgotten what film it's from.
Is it from Full Monty?
No.
Actually, I'm liking this.
Next week you're going to be singing all the songs a cappella in the studio. No, this is I Can't Take My Eyes Off of You featuring Walk Off the Earth. And next week I will tell you where the hell this is from. This has been Background Chill. Have a nice weekend, guys.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. At last love has arrived, and I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. Pardon the way that I stare. There's nothing else to compare. The sight of you leaves me weak. There are no words left to speak. But if you feel like I feel, please let me know that it's real. You're just too good to be true. Take my eyes off of you.
Yes, I need you, baby. And if it's quite alright, I need you, baby, to warm a lonely night. I love you, baby, but trust in me when I say okay. It's all pretty, baby. Don't let me down, I pray. Oh, pretty baby, now that I'm and let me love you. Oh baby, let me love you. Oh baby,
you're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. At last love has arrived, and I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you.
Yes, I need you, baby. And if it's quite alright, I need you, baby, to warm a lonely night. I love you, baby, but trust in me when I